Good evening and welcome to our Ash Wednesday service. Thank you for being with us this evening. Hopefully you are well and prepared for a service of repentance, reconciliation, remembrance, and discernment. As we prepare for our time together this evening, I ask that you be in an attitude of openness, of listening, and of attuned to the Holy Spirit. Now let us use our prelude as a means to begin our time of worship.
Join me in the call to worship. God's people have been called to gather.
From breastfeeding infants to aged grandparents, all are welcome.
God's people have been called to repent.
From those who wear their faults on their sleeves, to those whose secret hearts are broken, all are welcome.
God's people have been called to be reconciled to our God.
From those who have turned away, to those whose pain whispers in the night, all are welcome.
Our song of gathering is Lord Who Throughout These 40 Days, number 269 in the hymnal.
And through these days of
join me in the opening prayer. God, with whom we walk this Lenten path, bless us this day as we begin the long journey to the cross. Come to this place and remember your covenant with us. Remember the promise you made with us mere mortals to remain with us despite our dust. Shower your spirit upon us, for we need direction on this long road ahead. Care for us, your children, as we weather this winding road, following the faithful path of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our next hymn is Take Time to Be Holy, number 395. Our first lesson is taken from Joel chapter 2, verses 1 through 2 and 12 through 17. Blow the horn in Zion. Give a shout on my holy mountain. Let all the people of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. It is near. A day of darkness and no light. A day of clouds and thick darkness, like blackness spread out upon the mountains. A great and powerful army comes, unlike any that has ever come before them or will come after them in centuries ahead. Yet even now, says the Lord, return to me with all your hearts, with fasting, with weeping, and with sorrow. Tear your hearts and not your clothing. Return to the Lord your God, for he is merciful and compassionate, very patient, full of faithful love, and ready to forgive. Who knows whether he will have a change of heart and leave a blessing behind him, a grain offering and a drink offering for for the Lord your God. Blow the horn in Zion. Demand a fast. Request a special assembly. Gather the people. Prepare a holy meeting. Assemble the elders. Gather the children, even nursing infants. Let the groom leave his room and the bride in her chamber. Between the porch and the altar, let the priests, the Lord's ministers, weep. Let them say, "Have mercy, Lord, on your people, and don't make your inheritance a disgrace, an example of failure among the nations." Why should they say among the peoples, "Where is their God?" May God add a blessing to this reading.
Our second lesson comes from the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 6, verses 1 through 6 and 16 through 21. Be careful that you don't practice your religion in front of people to draw their attention. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Whenever you give to the poor, don't blow your trumpet as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may get praise from people. I assure you that's the only reward they'll get. But when you give to the poor, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that you may give to the poor in secret. Your Father who sees what you do in secret will reward you. When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites. They love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners so that people will see them. I assure you that's the only reward they'll get. But when you pray, go to your room, shut the door, and pray to your Father who is present in that secret place. Your Father who sees what you do in secret will reward you. And when you fast, don't put on a sad face like the hypocrites. They distort their faces so people will know they are fasting. I assure you that they have their reward. When you fast, brush your hair and wash your face. Then you won't look like you are fasting to people, but only to your Father who is present in that secret place. Your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Stop collecting treasures for your own benefit on earth, where moth and rust eat them and where thieves break in and steal them. Instead, collect treasures for yourselves in heaven, where moth and rust don't eat them, and where thieves don't break in and steal them. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. This is the word of God for all people. Thanks be to God. As we find ourselves beginning the season of Lent, the question that comes up as we enter this time of year is, what exactly was I promised? When we become Christians, when we grow up in the faith, when we are surrounded by others who teach us a great deal about being a child of God, we hear a lot about the word promises. We'll sing the hymn throughout the season of Lent, "Standing on the Promises of God." But what does it mean? What exactly was I promised? Lent reminds us about who we really are and about who we are related to. During the season of Lent, we are challenged to give something up, that we would grow, that we would face some small modicum of adversity. I can't speak for all of us, but I know that for myself, I have up till this point led a life of privilege, a life of ease and comfort. I have not had too many obstacles in my path. And during Lent, the challenge is not to give something up and then post about it on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and make it a funny dance on TikTok, but instead during Lent, the challenge is for me to give something up that would be an actual challenge to my life and not to tell anybody about it. During Lent, the challenge is to take on a burden by giving up something that we think we need so that we can recalibrate ourselves to understand what it is we truly need. Here in our scripture from Matthew, Christ talks about this, and he talks about the importance of not doing it for the show. What exactly was I promised? Was I promised that people would look at me and say, hey, look at him, big shot Christian, got it all going, that's a big cross necklace. What was I promised? That everything would be sunshine and rainbows? Was I promised that every day good things would fall into my lap with no effort on my own part? Was I promised that following Christ would always be easy? What was I promised? Throughout everything that we encounter, we are promised that God will be with us. We are promised that the Lord will be with us. That's a famous quote of John Wesley, one of the founders of the United Methodist movement, well, the Methodist movement, and we call it the United Methodist Church now, but one of the key components and one of the key quotes is he says, the best of all is that God is with us. And so we prepare ourselves and we enter the season of Lent, which is not supposed to be a joyous time of year, not a happy season. It's not the time of celebration. It's a time of fasting. It's a time of setting down and setting aside and thinking of something that isn't ourselves. During the season of Lent, we are to give something up so that we could understand those who suffer in a new way, so that we could put ourselves in someone else's shoes to try and see the world from their perspective. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the early Christians observed with great devotion the days of our Lord's passion and resurrection. And it became the custom of the church that before the Easter celebration, there should be a 40-day season of spiritual preparation. During this season, converts to the faith were prepared for holy baptism. And it was also a time when persons who had committed serious sins and had separated themselves from the community of faith were reconciled by penitence and forgiveness and restored to participation in the life of the church. In this way, the whole congregation was reminded of the mercy and forgiveness proclaimed in the gospel of Jesus Christ and the need we all have to renew our faith. So I invite you, therefore, in the name of the church, to observe a holy Lent by self-examination and repentance, by prayer, fasting, and self-denial, and by reading and meditating on God's holy word, to make a right beginning of repentance as a mark of our mortal nature. Let us take a moment to spiritually bring ourselves before our Creator and our Redeemer, and to truly pray about, ask forgiveness for, and lift up those things that have separated us from our community and from our God in this past year. During this season of Lent, we are challenged to remember that we have in common something with everyone else who walks this earth. Traditionally, we would gather and we would offer ashes. We would place them on our heads, a visible sign, something to remind ourselves of the facts that we cannot deny. And then I would say, as we put them on our heads, remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return. It's a reminder that all of us, no matter who we are, for all of our scheming, preparation, plans, are the same. We are mortal. We are fallible. We are fickle. During Lent, we are reminded of our own mortality. Something that seems more apparent in this past year than ever before. During Lent, we are reminded that we were promised that God would be with us, that God loves us, and that God reconciles us to Him. We are reminded that we must repent of those things that hold us back, of those things that cause us to harm our neighbor, to harm ourselves, to harm our loved ones. During Lent, we are challenged each and every day to remember that we may be dust, but we are dust with amazing potential. We have potential to do good. And we have potential to do harm. We have potential to care for one another and the potential to ignore one another. The Lord has given us so much potential, but has left it up to us to determine how we use it. So may the Almighty and Merciful God, who desires not the death of a sinner, but that we turn from wickedness and live, accept your repentance, forgive your sins, and restore you by the Holy Spirit to the newness of life. May you know that you are loved by God. And as we engage in this season of Lent, may you remember that you were promised new life, new chances, new opportunities, new horizons with which to engage as you reflect upon the infinite possibilities that you carry within you. Let us join in our closing song as we close our service together. Lord, I want to be a Christian, number 402 in our hymnal.